You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is a special message for pharmacy owners interested in providing more value to your patients while seeing consistently higher revenues and higher margins. I'm talking about the Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack. The UltiGuard Safe Pack provides 100 premium pen needles and a sharps container all in one for the same copay for your patients as pen needles alone. With Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack, you're doing more for your patients and more for your pharmacy's bottom line. Check it out for yourself. Go to UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. That's UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. And let us know what you think. And as always, thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Emma, what is up? Welcome to the RX Buzz. I am so happy you're finally with me here.
Yeah.
It's overdue.
How are you? Happy to be here.
Thank you. You've been in my realm for a long time, and I've been asking you and pulling you to come on here because I want you to teach me all of your things.
Yeah.
So, okay. So first and foremost, let's just clarify. Emma, how much do you know about pharmacy?
I know very little except for when I go to CVS and pick up my medications.
Oh my gosh, perception issue number one. But yeah. How did you and I've known Emma now for a couple of years through one of our mutual friends, and I've had the opportunity to like help to be alongside of Emma during navigate her career. We've been working together for a while, and I was like, all right, Emma, you got to come in and show the audience over here what you're about and why you're so awesome. So let's back up. And do you mind just sharing us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So I met Ashley through interview prep, and she taught me so much about how to tell your story and to get a job. Yeah. And so basically we've been working together ever since. And I'm an architect. I work in New York City, and I've been working for the past 6 years on residential, commercial, and retail projects. And the majority of my projects are interior architecture. And I have an architectural Instagram, which focuses a lot on storage and design and ways that you can personalize and make your home feel like yourself. So I talk a lot about that too. Mm-hmm.
So how do you work with people like on a daily basis in terms of clients? Who reaches out to you in this and what do they need help in?
So I currently work for a firm, and we work basically on 50% commercial projects and 50% residential. So, you know, companies who need a lot of it, actually I do for companies as furniture. So we call it a workstation, but you might know it as a cubicle. So say you're an office manager and you need to hire 4 people and convert a conference room into an office for 4 people, you would reach out to me to design the way the furniture would look and then work with the furniture vendor and make sure it gets installed the right way. Or you could change the walls and change the carpet and change the paint. And then residential is when people, I work in New York City, so it's a lot of times people buy two apartments next to one another and combine them so it can become a two or three bedroom apartment, or just changing the layout of their apartment. So it's just, it's always basically homeowners, yeah, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when people come to you, what are their innate questions? Like, where do I start?
A lot of times people kind of know, you know, what they need, right? So say you were, you say you're in an apartment, you say, oh, I need a kitchen, I need an office, I need a bedroom, I need two bedrooms. And so they kind of tell me what they need, and then I lay it out, you know, using and functional, the best flow,
yeah,
for the space. And it just keeps on layering on more details. So they, we start out, okay, we're going to, you know, enlarge the kitchen, and then it's designing the cabinetry and then picking out the tiles and the countertops. So, and a lot of times I'll be there during construction. So every single week there'll be like a weekly meeting, and I'll attend and make sure everything is working out. There's no questions from the contractor, and just oversee that process so there's no delays or the client's expectations are getting met. So yeah, I mean, it's very like, the process is, I usually meet with people, maybe they don't even own the apartment yet, and then they get moved in, and then maybe they buy furniture and they reach out to me. So a lot of times it's like a long relationship. So that can be fun too.
Yeah. Do you work virtually with people or primarily just in person?
I have not worked virtually, and like, I just don't know how that would work, because...
Do architects do that?
Well, actually, the only time I've ever done that was for, of course they do that, yes. But we did an office layout for an office in India that...
Whoa.
They gave us the dimensions. It was an American company who had a satellite office in India. That was like the client that we were working for. And we did the layout of their desks, but like, it's like, we couldn't really be on site or anything like that. But, you know, a lot of American firms do hotels abroad or those kind of things. And then I've heard about, you know, a lot of the architects who work on those projects don't go to the site. And so it's just so different for me, because I usually go to the site in the beginning, measure it, and then I'm there through the whole thing. But it's not always like that. Sometimes you just kind of go once and do the drawings, and then the contractor and the client kind of handle it. So there's just different levels of involvement.
So one of the biggest things that you've been able to accomplish over the last year is getting licensed, which is huge, yeah. Huge. It's like the equivalent of passing board exams and your, whatever the bar. I mean, it's a big accomplishment. How did you do that? Tell us. So, you studied for like a million hours. Oh, that's all I remember.
Yes. So you have to have 3 years of work experience, and you log it based on different areas. So you get experience in all different areas, and then you take 6 tests in all the different kind of aspects of architecture. And the tests are pretty difficult. I mean, usually I would study for like a month and a half for each one. And I actually ended up joining a boot camp, and I basically would try to study 10 to 15 hours a week on top of working full time. So I would just, the way I could get that done was just doing, kind of fitting it in wherever I could. So really focusing for 30 minutes before work, or, you know, I love doing practice. Well, I didn't love it, but it felt good when I did 30 minutes of practice problems at lunch, and then, you know, a few hours after work, and then probably 4 to 5 hours on the weekend. And so it took me like 3 years, and I basically completed all the tests. So,
oh my
yeah.
gosh, it was huge. Like big
yes, time. It felt big really time. Good. Yeah.
I loved it. And then you finished your exams, and then you immediately went into like, how can I elevate my personal brand even more? So
yes.
What did you do from there?
So then I created this Instagram where I kind of started out just talking about things that I had done in my own apartment, because I kind of feel like as myself, I never really grew up as a very organized or, you know, design oriented. I mean, I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. I grew up taking art classes my whole life, but I wasn't, you know, born an architect. And then, but because I've been designing people's homes for the past 5 years, I've also designed my own apartment, and like, people always are commenting, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And I'm like, well, I've just designed this like I would for a client, you know,
right.
I mean, there's no magic to it. Like before I move in, I measure the space, draw a floor plan, draw where I'm going to have different zones, like the living zone and a dining zone. And then I layer in, you know, rugs and art and plants to make it feel like me. And I just saw all these things, kind of like things that I've incorporated in my own apartment that may not be as elevated or, you know, custom as I do for my clients, but still work. Mm-hmm. Like for example, I don't have a totally custom built-in storage unit in my bathroom, but I've definitely adapted ways. And so I wanted to kind of share that because I feel like a lot of my friends are like, oh, how do you get that? And I'm like, well, you know, I learned it for five years.
How did you get into architecture?
So I have been doing art classes my whole life, drawing and painting. And I actually did art history major in college, and I didn't I didn't like studying art as much as I liked doing. I liked to make things, you know, make models, make drawings. And so after college, it's kind of sad. It's like, I just needed a career. I went for architecture, and it actually, it's funny. It's like in school, it never really clicked for me, but like working and just working with clients, having budgets, having deadlines, like it's, I really like it. So.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily just the architecture that you like the interaction with everyone too.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole team.
So what are your biggest tips for us people who are minions and don't have your architecture license for best tips for organizing and keeping like a nice workflow state of in your house or in your work area?
Ooh, I love
where do I stay?
Workflow.
Yeah.
So I would definitely follow my Emma's architecture because I have a lot of tips on there. And the way I would start is honestly just declutter, because it's impossible to organize if you have too much stuff. So just go through your things and see what makes you happy or sparks joy and what you use. And if not, donate it. Mm-hmm. And I like to do this. Like I like to just tackle one area at a time, like just do my kitchen and then do like a drawer. Like if I have a little bit of time or something, but if you want to do, say you want to do it all weekend or something or all month, however you want to do it, I think you should do it that way. And then once you know what you're going to keep, you basically make sure that, so say for example, all of your kitchen utility, all your kitchen things need to be in the kitchen. So wherever you need your things, you should store them. And then once you figure that out, you go further. And so all your cutlery things are in, or all your forks and knives and your peelers are in a certain drawer. So then you don't buy like three peelers.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh gosh, it's Thanksgiving. I don't know where anything is. So, and if you, you know, if you want to further organize things, you can have little drawer dividers or plastic bins. So you can fit more things into a shelf.
I need those. Where do you recommend you get those?
So I love saving packaging. Like any kind of Apple product has really good packaging. I recently bought like sunglasses. They had really cool packaging. So I like to use that because it's free.
And it's eco-friendly.
And it's eco-friendly. And usually you can, and so I actually save a bunch of them. I have like a little box where I save them, but otherwise I would just go to the Container Store is good. Cause they have a bunch of like, they have like a long plastic one and a little one. So it's good to have different sizes for, for the different things, the sizes and shapes. So I think that, you know, that's kind of the way. And, you know, I share a lot about my own personal kind of organization forays on my Instagram. Like I had to recently, my parents are moving and I had to go through all my old like photos and yearbook. And it was like super fun, but also kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was actually kind of a tough thing because I actually wanted to get rid of a lot of things. And then my mom was like, no, don't get rid of that. Like you can't get, like I wanted, I, she had saved my first passport and I almost got rid of it. And she was like, you can't get rid of that.
So oh, I was geez. Like, okay. Does it spark joy?
If it was not, pretty cute. I mean, but.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So that's something people say, actually, like you shouldn't show people what you're going to throw away because then they're like, no.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
so
is
I did
smart.
Not follow that rule. But
yeah.
So yeah, I think, and I, you know, I think also like it really, it can be, it takes a lot of work to do decluttering and mm-hmm. I think that it does bring kind of a benefit of calm and kind of, you know, you, I really think I shop less if I'm more organized because
absolutely.
Then I'm like, oh my gosh, I have, you know, 4 sweaters. I don't need another sweater.
Right.
And I live in New York, so I don't have much space. So I always keep a bag for like, for example, if I buy like a bunch of t-shirts online, then I'll donate ones that I don't wear anymore. And so I have a bag that I fill up and then I bring it to the Goodwill once it's done.
Yeah.
And also it's good if you have like pricier items that you just don't wear anymore, consignment stores are great. And some people even do like eBay.
Oh, really?
For jewelry. Yeah. Cause you can get like a higher return. So, you know, then you feel like, because really giving away nice clothes can feel kind of like, oh, you know, I did
a
spend
pain.
Some money on that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, oh, I did. But if you bring it to a consignment store, they could give you money or they could just say, you know, we'll just take it. And,
true.
Yeah.
True. When you work with someone, like what's the first place that you start out at?
So we always go to their, well, this isn't always true. What do we do? So usually what we do is we just go to the new site and we measure it. But for commercial clients, what's really good is to go to their old office and kind of mm-hmm. see how they work and see who sits near who and all that stuff. But it really just kind of begins with measuring the space. And usually it's not me who talks to the client. It's my boss and mm-hmm. the partner of the firm. And he just knows what they need. Like he knows they need a kitchen, a big kitchen with 2 ovens and, or whatever it is. And they need a guest bedroom that can also be an office and they need another bedroom and a certain amount of, you know, closets. And then we draw the floor plan. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of begins with that, like that planning. Of like, what's the function? What are you going to
yeah.
get out of this new space? So I think that's always an interesting part when
Love
you can
it.
Figure that out. But it always, it does change throughout the process sometimes. And so, yeah.
I love it. Well, if someone has found this to be like up their alley and they want you to help them or you to inspire some more spark joyness, where can they reach out to you on?
So they should follow me on Instagram, Emma's Architecture, and they can email me. So Emma@greenberg-designs.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So Emma Greenberg.
I will make sure to include all of your information in the show notes. But Emma, I love working with you. You are the bestest. And anyone out there that needs support in organizing, developing a plan of how to organize, getting it together, Emma's your girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks, guys. Take care.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.